This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. First of all, جزاكم الله خيرا for braving this weather and coming to the halaqa, to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attend this halaqa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you with the best of reward. Today, of course, this is the topic is related to what you did today, what you did tonight, coming to the masjid and praying in congregation. And the topic, as I said before, is about maximizing our rewards with congregational prayers. What I meant by this topic is, how can we make the most of it? How can we benefit, collect all the benefits and the virtues of Salat al-Jama'ah, offering the Salat in the Masjid. And ya ikhwan, we talk about this subject in our halaqat. We just mention a little bit about it, or in the Friday prayers. But when you collect all the virtues and the benefits of attending Salat al-Jama'ah in the Masjid, you'll be amazed. You'll be shocked, actually. When you collect them and you put them all together, and this is what we're going to do together, inshallah, tonight. Do you hear the sound, sister?
No.
Okay, I mean, it's green. Even this topic is not concerning sisters tonight. I mean, it's better for them to pray at home, but they will not like it, but there are a hadith. Well, I have to say it at the end. So, brother, the light is green.
Okay. It should be.
It should be working. طيب, I think it's better now. طيب, I'll repeat myself, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So as I said tonight, يعني the حلقة or the topic of our حلقة is how to maximize our rewards, by attending congregational prayers. And as I said, يعني we talk about this subject time to time. I myself, I remember I have mentioned the virtues of this ibadah, offering salat in the masajid in different khutab, a little bit about it. But when I collected all the ahadith, not all of them actually, most of them, about what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about the excellence of praying in the masjid, I was amazed. And today, inshallah, this is what we try to do. We list all these benefits, or most of them. I don't think I have encompassed all of them. I will be able to encompass all of them, include all of them tonight in this halaqa. But at least we will know most of them. And most of the hadith that talked about the excellence of praying in the masjid are collected by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. There are many narrations in different sources of hadith. So we feel, when you study this subject, you feel that the Quran and the Sunnah have emphasized the importance of praying in the masjid, praying with the jama'ah, offering your salat in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find that it is a proof, and there are other proofs, we are not going to talk about them, because this is a fiqh issue. Scholars have different views about it. Some ulama, they said it's an obligation upon every male who is resident and who is healthy to attend the salat in the masjid with the jama'ah, unless he has an excuse. And there is another opinion that says, it's only fard kifaya, communal or collective obligation. So if a group of people offer this salat in the masjid, the rest of the Muslims will be relieved. And the third opinion says it's only sunnah mu'akkada, highly recommended sunnah. But tonight, I don't want to focus on these fiqhi differences, because I don't want you to be distracted with this fiqh discussions. I want you to pay attention to the benefits of attending Salat al-Jama'ah with Muslims in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does the Quran emphasize this concept? If we go to Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَعَسَى أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. So he said the masajid of Allah are only maintained by those who believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, and give zakat, establish the prayer and give zakat, and they do not fear except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said at the end, it is expected that those will be of the rightly guided. So those who keep doing this, filling the masajid, the houses of Allah, with dhikr, because you know maintenance of the masajid or maintaining the masajid is divided into two types. The first one is physical maintenance. You know, taking care of the masjid, cleaning the masjid, taking care of the washrooms, parking area, making it easy for people to come to the masjid and offer their salat in the masjid. And this could be called physical or material maintenance. And the second type of maintenance is إعمار المساجد, is الإعمار الروحي. إعمار المساجد بالذكر, بقراءة القرآن, بالصلاة, is the spiritual maintenance. Coming to the masjid and filling the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with dhikr, with qira'at al-Qur'an, with salat. And the first one is a means to the second one. So the second one is the end, is the goal. So we establish the masajid. We don't want to, I mean, to attract tourists to come and watch it, how our masajid are beautiful. This is something that is happening in many Muslim countries. They build beautiful buildings and then they are making money because people are coming. You know, foreigners are coming to this masjid, taking pictures and looking at the beautiful, you know, buildings, enjoying themselves there. It's a touristic. These masjid are becoming now touristic attractions, and this is one of alamat al-sa'a, by the way. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear when he said to the one who came in the masjid and أكرمكم الله, he peed in the masjid, Arabi, a Bedouin. He was ignorant, he doesn't know. He just accepted Islam. He came and he urinated in the masjid. And the Sahaba wanted to come, they stood up and they wanted to beat him up. The Sahaba, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take it easy. Leave him. And then when he finished, he said, just pour some water on it. And then he called him. And then explain to him the purpose of establishing this masajid. Look at the hikmah here. I want you to pay attention to the hikmah, the gentleness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the end, he said, "Innama buniyat li dhikri Allahi wa li salat." These masajid were only built for the sake of what? Remembering Allah subhanahu wa taala and establishing salat. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa taala said, "Wa aqimu salata wa atu zakata wa rka'u ma'al raki'in." Establish the prayer and give zakat and bow with those who are bowing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayh, he said many scholars, this is the statement, I'm repeating here the statement of Imam Ibn Kathir. قال وقد استدل كثير من العلماء بهذه الآية على وجوب الجماعة. And I'm not going to promote this, even though I feel inclined towards this opinion, that it could be an obligation for every male who is resident, who doesn't have an excuse, who is healthy, to attend. He doesn't have an excuse to attend Salat al-Jama'ah. I feel myself that I am inclined towards this opinion. But I don't want to promote this opinion tonight, because as I told you, I don't want you to pay attention to these fiqhi differences. I want you to pay attention to the beauty, the rewards, the benefits of coming to the masjid and offering Salat al-Jama'ah. So, but Ibn Kathir, this is what he said in his tafsir. He said, many scholars have used this ayah as a proof. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, bow with those who are bowing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they use this ayah as a proof, you know, to support their view that Salat al-Jama'ah is an obligation when all the excuses are not there. Yani when there is no valid excuse for the person to miss it. Now, how does the Sunnah emphasize this act of worship? There are more amazing benefits that are mentioned in the Sunnah. And that's why you cannot deny the authority of the Sunnah. Otherwise, you miss big knowledge. Big amount of knowledge would be lost if we say we don't want to deal with the Sunnah, or we deny the authority of the Sunnah, we say it's enough we have the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that should be enough. No, it's not enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention general rules in the Quran, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would explain, will tell us about the details. And if you miss these details, then you miss a big amount of guidance. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير. So the first hadith here was collected by Abu Huraira. It is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said, a man's salat or a man's prayer in congregation is 25 times more rewarding than his prayer in his house or in his shop. In a different hadith, في سوقه, in the marketplace. So in this hadith, Bukhari and Muslim, Salatul Fardi or Salatul Rajuli fi jama'a tafdhulu ala salatihi fi baytihi aw suqihi bi 25 marra. He said a man's prayer in congregation is 25 times. There is a different hadith, 27 times. Maybe at the end I will tell you about it, what is the difference between the two, but it's not a big deal. But in this hadith he's saying 25 times more rewarding than his prayer in his house or his shop. And then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the reason. There is a reason behind it. Okay, what are the reasons? He said it is because when he performs his wudu at home properly. So he's telling us the process, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At home or at your work, your place of work, you perform your wudu properly. And properly, yani, you need to understand it. You do it 3 times, you say the basmala, you say the dua, try to follow the sunnah. That's a different issue. I'm not going to talk about the proper way of making wudu tonight. But this is what Rasulullah said. إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوء. When he performs his wudu properly and proceeds towards the masjid with the purpose. So here he's talking about the intention. لَا يُخْرِجُهُ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ. Yani he has no other purpose. His only purpose is to go and attend Salat al-Jama'ah with Muslims. Then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not take step without him being raised 1 degree in a rank, in rank for it, and having one of his sins deleted or erased or remitted for him. So he is raised 1 degree in rank and one of his sins is erased. With every step, imagine. I want you to imagine how much reward he's collecting, this man. And inshallah, those who are driving to the masjid, like all of us, will be collecting the same reward, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deny you this reward because you decide to drive. I mean, maybe you'll get more reward because you're losing some money, yeah? You're consuming gas and you're cleaning your car and breathing this weather. So even though this weather could be an excuse, because alhamdulillah we have to know the rules of our Sharia, but here we're not talking about excuses or different rulings. We want to know tonight, as I said, the benefits of attending this Salat. And they said till he enters the masjid. So with every step you get this reward till you enter the masjid. And then he said when he's performing the Salat, the angels are praying for him, saying, Allahumma aghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. Oh Allah, bless him. The malaika in the masjid making dua for you. And then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu at the end, and he is deemed to be engaged in salat. Wal mar'u fi salatin ma kana yantadhiru salat. He is deemed to be engaged in salat as long as he is waiting for salat. And this is only one hadith, ya ikhwan. So we can derive from this hadith how many benefits? How many?
Seven.
Okay, that's good, mashallah. Excellent. The brother said 7, and I thought about 5. You tell me about the other two. So the first one is the rewards of your salat are multiplied by 25 times. In a different hadith, 27 times. The rewards of your salat and multiply 25 times. Number 2, you are raised 1 degree in rank in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every step. And a third benefit, with every step, one of your sins is erased. Number 4, the angels pray for you. What do you want more than that? The angels pray for you as long as you are in the masjid and you did not break your wudu. This is the hadith. The hadith clearly says you did not break your wudu. Then they will keep making dua for you. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu, number 4. And number 5 is rewarded for his waiting time. You are rewarded for your waiting time, collecting hasanat while waiting for the salah. It doesn't mean that you have to come to the masjid all the time and stay in the masjid and leave your job, leave your studies. It doesn't mean that. Because when we are confused about something, ya ikhwan, we go back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he practiced his sunnah. He would be busy with his wife, with his family, helping his family. When he hears the adhan, he leaves everything, he goes, makes wudu, and goes out to the masjid. That was his sunnah, alayhi salatu wasalam. But sometimes he would stay in the masjid reading Quran, doing dhikr, especially after Fajr. After Fajr, he would stay. For those who can stay after Fajr, it's beautiful. Or he would spend time with his sahaba, sometimes teaching and talking about akhirah or about the deen. But he was not there in the masjid 24 hours. I don't want you to get this impression. So you do your business, you fulfill your family obligations, you do everything. But masjid has to be part of your daily life, or coming to the masjid, attending the masjid. What are the other two?
So number 6 is the importance of sunnah. Like we are using all these rewards.
The importance of
sunnah.
Sunnah, following the sunnah. So reviving the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The importance of accepting the sunnah as well.
And number 7, this will come in a different hadith because Ibn Mas'ud will mention that second hadith. But again, the number 7? You don't have 7? That's good. Think about it, maybe you'll find it. طيب, in a different hadith, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and I guess this is his statement, يعني this is not the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is his statement. قال من سره أن يلقى الله غدا مسلما. And I want you to pay attention to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a great scholar. And he was known for something. He was very strict with his, when delivering the narrations, the ahadith. And he used to reprimand his students for memorizing his ahadith word by word. He was extremely vigilant when delivering fatawas and delivering ahadith. And he was a great scholar. All the ulama in Iraq, in the area of Iraq, learned from him. Learned fiqh from him. He is the source. He is their teacher. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He moved to the area of Iraq and he spent his life there. The rest of his life. Radiallahu anhu. So here, I want you to pay attention to every piece of his statement. He said, he who likes to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim. Tomorrow he means on the Day of Judgment. He who likes to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim, he should take care and observe these salawat, you know, the 5 daily prayers, whenever the adhan is announced for them. This is his statement, radiallahu anhu. And then he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ شَرَعَ لِنَبِيِّكُمْ سُنَنَ الْهُدَى. Allah has, you know, decreed for your prophet the right way of guidance, or the ways of right guidance. And they are, these prayers are part of this right guidance. These prayers, or offering these prayers, because he will explain himself. He will compare, he will tell people, do not stay at home and pray at home like this, like so and so. He was talking about one person, but he didn't mention his name. But he said here, these prayers are part of the right guidance. And then he said, if you have to perform salat in your houses, here this is a proof that he's talking about offering these prayers in the masjid. He said, if you have to perform this salat, these prayers in your houses, as this man who stays behind from the masjid, stays away from the masjid, and performs his salat in the house, you will be forsaking the sunnah of your messenger. You will abandon the sunnah of your messenger. And he said, if you forsake the sunnah of your prophet, then you will be going astray. That is his statement. And I told you, Abdullah ibn Abbas was very careful about his fatawas, his statement, about his ahadith. But these are his statement, radiallahu anhu. And then he said, I have seen the time, and I want you to pay attention to this. I have seen the time when no one stayed behind except a well-known hypocrite. I have seen the time when no one stayed behind among the Sahaba, the community of the Sahaba. And all of them coming all the time. Of course, they used to miss sometimes if they are eating food or they have an excuse. Rasulullah himself used to sometimes go far away from the masjid doing something, then he would miss the Salat al-Jama'ah. That's okay. But I'm talking about daily habits. Daily habits. If you miss Dhuhr and Asr, how about Maghrib and Isha? If you miss Fajr, how about Dhuhr and Asr? There are five times. There are five daily prayers. If you miss one or two, how about the others? The problem is with many Muslims, they don't come to the houses of Allah except on Jum'ah. Except on Jum'ah. And I'll give you some examples from the community at the end, maybe. I have seen things, seen people inside the masjid. Inside the masjid. People praying and he's doing some renovation. And he's Muslim. One of them, when I talked to him, he said, "L'amal ibadah." He said, doing some work is also another act of ibadah. I'm helping the Muslim community. Helping the Muslim community by doing some renovations in the masjid, the jama'ah in the masjid, not in this place. I've seen it in a different place. Or other people working in the backyard of the masjid. And they are Muslims. And they come for Jum'ah. But their prayer is going on. No. So many people are ignorant about, the importance of Salat al-Jama'ah. So Rasulullah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said here, and I also saw that a man was brought swaying on account of his weakness, account of his sickness, between two men till he was set up in a row. Like two people will bring him, will drag him to the masjid. Of course, and for us, no way we can do it. It's an excuse. It's a valid excuse. But he's talking about the Sahaba now. This is a dalil that shows that the Sahaba used to love, praying in the masjid with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their hearts were attached to the masjid. So this is something that we're going to talk about it at the end. So what are the benefits from this hadith? So he was talking about keeping yourself firm on the deen. Because he said, "Man sarrahu an yalqa Allah musliman ghadan." He who likes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow as a Muslim, which means if you want to keep yourself firm on the deen, help yourself to be firm and stay firm on the deen till you die as a Muslim, you meet Allah as a Muslim, then you do this. Keep coming to the masajid, to the houses of Allah. This is what Ibn Mas'ud say. So the first, radiallahu anhu, the first benefit here is you'll have a greater chance of keeping yourself on the right path, inshaAllah, until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a Muslim. And the second one, you'll be one of those who revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And reviving the sunnah, you'll be rewarded for reviving the sunnah. Because when you see now, you go to the masajid, you find that a minority of people are coming to the masajid all the time. And those are reviving the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you'll be granted protection against hypocrisy. If you want to research, do a research about hypocrisy and Salat al-Jama'ah, there are other ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الفرق بيننا وبين المنافقين صلاة العشاء وصلاة الفجر. He said, أثقل الصلاتين على المنافقين صلاة العشاء وصلاة الفجر. لا يستطيعانهما. They don't have the ability to attend Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr. Why? Because of their nifaq, their hypocrisy. He's talking about the people who had major nifaq. Nowadays, if you tell me, I don't want you to think that I am Hassan Shabbani saying now that all the ones who are all Muslims who are not attending Salat al-Jama'ah in the masjid are hypocrites or munafiqeen. Why? I'll tell you why. Because why? At the time of Rasulullah was there, was teaching the Sahaba, they knew the importance of Salat al-Jama'ah. The importance of coming and praying with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everyone who had, good faith, he was a mu'min, he didn't have nifaq, he would come and join the jama'ah and pray with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now people are confused about it because they got different opinions, fiqh opinions. So he goes to, he might come to Hassan Shabbani and ask me about it, I will tell him, I feel inclined towards the first opinion that it could be an obligation. He goes to another imam, and the other imam will tell him, it's only a communal obligation, fard kifaya, so you don't have to worry about it. Another imam might tell him, it's sunnah mu'akkada. And I'm not blaming the other imams. These are fiqhi differences that are available in the books of fiqh, in the classical sources of fiqh. And that's why when you study this subject, you just try to pay attention to also the proofs used by those who said it could be an obligation, because they are very strong proofs. The other people, the other groups of scholars, they have a good point too. But the other ones have very strong proofs. See what you try. So I cannot say, oh, people who are attending the salawat are munafiqeen, because they are getting different instructions, different knowledge, right? So I'm not saying that they are. I'm saying that Rasulullah ﷺ said, at his time, the people who were lazy, they were not attending Isha and Fajr with him, that was a sign that they might have a problem with him, of hypocrisy, right? طيب, because I don't want you to convey a different message. The third hadith, and this is a beautiful hadith, another beautiful hadith. It is in Bukhari Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ said, من غدا إلى المسجد أو راح أعد الله له في الجنة نزلا كلما غدا أو راح. So he said, he who proceeds towards the masjid at dawn or dusk. Dawn or dusk, it could mean going to Fajr prayer and dusk in the evening, Maghrib and Isha. Or it could mean, there is another explanation, يعني whenever he goes and comes back. Whenever he goes to the masjid and comes back to his house. So what is his reward? He said, Allah prepares a hospitable entertainment for him in paradise every time he goes to the masjid and comes back from it. What is this hospitable entertainment? Is it a different house in Jannah? It is a different place? Allahu a'lam. I have no knowledge about it. But Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, أَعَدَّ لَهُ نُزُلًا ضِيَافًا. يعني you will be treated like a guest, like special guest on the Day of Judgment. For every salat, every trip to the masjid, yes. How many salats? Every day, 5. If you multiply by 30, 150 times, right? 150 every month. Every year, maybe 1,800. If you keep doing for this for 20 years, 30 years, 1,000 will be 1,000 times, right? Huh? So this is a great reward. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. طيب, the fourth hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is a famous hadith, the seven that will be, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade on the day when there will be no shade except His shade, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seven people, or seven categories of people. They are not seven people, they are seven groups of people. So the first one is a just ruler. And the second one, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, a man who grew up in the worship of Allah, or a young man, actually a youth who grew up in the worship of Allah. And the third one is a man whose heart is attached to the masajid. His heart is attached. He loves the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Comes and pray, goes home, he keeps thinking about coming back. Driving his taxi or doing his business, and he's thinking about the next prayer. So his heart is attached to the masjid. What will happen to these people? The sun will come close to people, as much as 1 mile, as the hadith says. And people will be burning from the heat. And they will be sweating. And the sweat will reach up to, based on their sins, some of them, the sweat will reach to their ankles, some of them to their knees, some of them to their waist, some of them to their, to their heads. But these categories of people, these different groups of people, seven groups of people, will be treated in a special way. Will be given, granted a special treatment. They will be like treated like a distinguished and special guest. They will be under the shade of His throne, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And one of them is a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. معلق قلبه معلق بالمساجد. So this benefit, there are two benefits here: protection from the sun's heat, and also this honor. It is an honor, yes. You'll be treated like an honorable guest. And the fifth hadith, I had some doubt about the authenticity of this hadith. When I read this hadith before, a long time ago, I thought the hadith could be controversial. But I found out that Sheikh Al-Albani said it is sahih. And it is in Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi. So all the hadith Bukhari and Muslim, this hadith is not in Bukhari and Muslim. But it's a beautiful hadith. بَشِّرِ الْمَشَّائِينَ فِي الظُّلَمِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ بِالنُّورِ التَّامِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Give glad tidings to those who walk to the masajid in the dark. Give glad tidings to those who walk to the masajid in the dark. Oh, those who drive, same thing. In the dark, they will be granted full light on the Day of Judgment. And I believe people will need light when crossing the bridge, al-Sirat. At that time, people will need light. So this is a bushra. Because those who come to the masjid all the time, during night time, like Fajr and Maghrib and Isha, right? So here, he's talking about these three prayers. So what are the benefits that I was able to collect tonight? I will read them to you. 11, but as I said, this is a quick survey. I'm not able to collect all the benefits. Number one, multiplication of the rewards. Number two, you will be raised 1 degree with every step. Number three, you have one of your sins erased with every step. Number four, you'll be blessed with the prayers of the angels. Number five, you'll be rewarded for your waiting time in the masjid. Number six, you help yourself to stay firm on the deen, as Ibn Mas'ud said. Number seven, you'll be among those who revive the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number eight, you'll be granted protection against nifaq. Number nine, you receive hospitable entertainment in paradise for every trip to the masjid. Number 10, you will enjoy the immunity against the sun's heat on the Day of Judgment and be treated like a special guest. And number 11, you receive full light on the Day of Judgment. So now, I want to tell you about the best scenario. How can we make the most of it? How can we maximize these rewards and preserve them? Because if you do all these things, you come to the masjid all the time, but you create some fitna here, some problems. You eat garlic and you come to the masjid. You know what I'm saying? You'll be losing some rewards. So now we want to preserve these rewards. What are we supposed to do? This is to the best of my knowledge, this is the best scenario. And it's up to you. Many things here are recommended. They are not an obligation. They are not a must. First one, before you leave your house, you make sure that you perform your wudu properly. Saying the basmala, even if you are in the washroom inside, say it quietly in your heart. Basmala. Do your wudu properly. Do it three times, مثلا, for every limb. Say the dua after you finish the wudu, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. After you finish this wudu, number two, you apply some perfume, but be careful about perfume. If it is very strong, it might be annoying to other people. Be careful, you have to select, you have to be reasonable with your perfume and the type of the perfume that you use, because I have seen people complaining about perfumes, and wives complaining about perfumes. Number three, make sure you did not eat any garlic or onions. If you eat garlic or onion, just stay home. Don't come to the masjid. This is not my fatwa. This is the fatwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he clearly said it. He said, whoever eats onion or garlic or leeks, those green onions, they are very sleek and green. He said, whoever eats these vegetables, let him not come near our masjid. For the malaika, the angels, are offended by the same things that offend the children of Adam. We don't like bad smell. The malaika don't like it. They are offended. So you'd be offending other people and offending the malaika. It's better for you to stay home. Number four, when leaving your house, you say the related dua. Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is the shortest version. If you want to say the longest version, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adhilla aw udhal aw azilla aw uzal aw ajhala aw yujhala alay aw adhlima aw udhlam. So basically you are saying in the name of Allah, I have placed my trust in Allah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no power nor strength except except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the rest of the dua you are asking Allah or seeking refuge with Allah or in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from misguiding other people or being misguided, doing injustice to other people or receiving injustice from other people and so on. So you are asking protection for these things. And this dua is not only for salat, when you are leaving for salat. This dua is, whenever you leave your house, you can say this dua. Even if you are going to Superstore or Safeway to do some shopping, you can use this dua because we are supposed to say it all the time when we leave our houses. But if you say it when you are coming to the salat, you are collecting more reward. There is another dua that is specific to coming to the masjid. When you leave your house, going to the masjid, in it, Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi nuran, wa fi lisani nuran, wa fi sam'i nuran, wa fi basari nuran. And he said, waj'al min khalfi nuran, wa min amami nuran, wa an yamini nuran, wa min fawqi nuran, wa min tahti nuran, Allahumma a'tini nuran. This hadith, it means, oh Allah, put light in my heart, put light in my tongue, put light in my sight, put light in front of me, put light behind me, put light above me, below me, and give me light. So, but this is a short version of this dua. The longest version of this dua is found in Hisn al-Muslim. If you want to go back to the fortress of the Muslim, there is a long version of this dua. If you can, if you want to help yourself, put this small booklet, Hisn al-Muslim, leave it in your car. And whenever you remember a good dua, you can open when you have time. You don't read it when you're driving, but if you are waiting in front of the red light or outside, you have time, you can read and memorize this dua. This is a good tip, inshallah. But this dua is there. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, I slept in the house of Rasulullah sallam, and he described his prayer at night. And he said, when the muadhin made the adhan for Fajr prayer, he left his house saying this dua that I mentioned now. So if you say it, you'll be following the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and you'll be actually increasing your rewards. It's not a must, it's something that is recommended. Upon entering the masjid, you said, Bismillah, wassalamu ala Rasulillah, la maghfir li dhunubi, waftah li abwaba rahmatik. And you enter with the right foot. And you leave the masjid with the left. So here basically you are saying in the name of Allah, and may peace of Allah be upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, forgive my sins and open for me the doors of your mercy when coming inside the masjid. Number seven, we mentioned it, enter masjid with the right foot. Pray tahiyyat al-masjid when you come. Pray tahiyyat al-masjid. It's sunnah mu'akkada. Spread the greeting of peace. There's nothing wrong with saying salamu alaykum to the brothers who are sitting in the masjid. Expect the reward of your waiting time. There are people who come to the masjid and they keep looking to their watch and the imam is late. you are collecting hasanat. You are collecting hasanat. Rasulullah, the Sahaba, they didn't have these clocks. They used to wait for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Bilal used to take care of the salat. When Bilal used to feel that Rasulullah ﷺ is not around, he's not in his house, he's far away from the masjid, he would look for someone else, Abu Bakr or Umar or another Sahabi. He would approach another Sahabi to lead the prayer. But they used to wait for Rasulullah ﷺ. And alhamdulillah, these days, we have these timings and these iqamah times, and we made it easy. And I think this is the only way that works these days, with people. Otherwise, we'll have fitna in the masjid. Now make dua in between the adhan and the iqama, if you want. Recommended. Make dua. And pray in the first row. You get more hasanat if you pray in the first row. And follow the imam. Do not anticipate him. Yani do not do takbir before the imam. Do not move into ruku' before the imam. Because this is haram. The things that you need to pay attention to, when you are praying in the masjid, do not look up. Look at the place of sujood or in front of you. It's okay if you look at the front, straight in front of you, or at the place of sujood. But do not look up, it's a sin. And try to fill the gaps. Straighten the lines and fill the gaps. Do not try to stay away from your brothers. We see sometimes that people praying alone, you feel like he's praying alone. This is the line, and he's here far from the line. There is a big gap between him and the line. Now try to fill the gaps. Stand up beside your brothers. If you touch his foot, that's okay. This is sunnah actually. And you touch his shoulder, but don't try to push. Huh? Don't annoy your brothers. Take care of them. Okay? Be reasonable. Be reasonable. Al-wasatiyya, ya ikhwan. Be moderate in your ibadat. But it's nice to straighten. Actually, it's an obligation. It's an obligation to straighten our lines. This is how we can increase our rewards. Don't hurt other Muslims. Do not sell and buy in the masjid. It's haram. Do not sell. Don't come here and make deals with the brothers. One imam told me, he said that someone, I don't know this guy, but he said someone was selling drugs in the masjid. Or hashish. And a non-Muslim came, he gave an appointment to a non-Muslim, and he came and the non-Muslim looked inside, he said, what is this? Is it a place of worship? Oh, he said, no, not in this place. The non-Muslim. I don't want to mention any name, any place. General, it's a something, it's a story, it's an event. Something that happened here in Calgary. I said, no, not in this place. A non-Muslim. The non-Muslim was saying no. And the Muslim was saying, it's okay, come on. Selling is haram. How about selling these things in the masajid? And then we complain about the state of our affairs or our weakness or our yani. طيب جزاكم الله خيرا. بس الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لكل خير.